Good morning. Friends, will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is our third week with this very close reading of what biblical scholars call the bread discourse. And I thought here at the end, it might help us to look back at the beginning to how we got here as we're hearing about the aftermath of this difficult teaching. Just before Jesus starts this provocative teaching comparing himself to a loaf of bread, he does a miracle. Jesus feeds this massive crowd in the wilderness. We're told there are 5,000 men plus women and children, all fed by 5 dinner rolls and a couple sardines. And Jesus feeds everyone with leftovers, lots of leftovers. And the crowds are so amazed that they try to seize Jesus and make him their king. Jesus just manages to escape up to the hills by himself. And a little while later, the next morning, he joins up with the disciples on the other side of the lake, walking on water. So these crowds that experience this miraculous feeding, they get wind of where Jesus is, and they're off to find him, the miracle worker. And they catch up with Jesus in the synagogue on the far side of the lake. And that's when things get weird. "I am the bread of life," he tells them. "Okay, that's a bit strange. We actually know your parents. I am the living bread who came down from heaven." "Okay, now this is getting a little over the top. Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." That is just gross. And when these thousands of recently fed new followers of Jesus hear these words, they say what we are all thinking. This is a hard word. And Jesus says to them, "Are you scandalized?" And clearly the answer is yes. We know these people are scandalized because they leave. And not just a few. Our family loves Durham Bulls baseball. And I looked up and discovered that the stadium holds about 10,000 people. So if Jesus feeds 5,000 people plus women and children, we're looking at probably a mostly full baseball stadium of people who are here to listen to Jesus. Can you imagine that stadium draining? Thousands of people walking away. 0.1% of the people stay with Jesus. Thousands of those who were fed, who only a day ago wanted to force him to be king, who found boats in the middle of the night to cross the Sea of Galilee, they're gone. So I can imagine some tenderness, vulnerability, perhaps some anxiety, when he turns to the 12 who remain and says, "Do you also wish to go away?" Jesus hasn't been the person they were looking for. And he couldn't offer them what they wanted. A political dynasty, the violent overthrow of the Roman Empire. All he had was his life as bread. This week I remembered a poem by the late Mary Oliver. It's a poem about empires. And I've been thinking about it a lot, reading this bread Jesus offers in the midst of living in this empire of the United States of America. We will be known as a culture that feared death and adored power, that tried to vanquish insecurity for the few and cared little for the penury of the many. We'll be known as a culture that taught and rewarded the amassing of things, that spoke little, if at all, about the quality of life for people, other people, for dogs, for rivers. All the world in our eyes, they will say, was a commodity. And they will say the structure was held together politically, which it was, and they will also say that our politics was no more than an apparatus to accommodate the feeling of the heart, and that the heart in those days was small and hard and full of meanness. How do you nurture a heart? How do you give the heart the nourishment it needs to grow from smallness and hardness, from meanness to full and whole? And so I hear these words again. I am the bread of life. As we eat this bread, this Jesus, we see God's life growing and healing us. We become a people. We become a people who believe that every person is made in the image of God. We become a people who believe that we love our neighbors as ourselves. We become a people who refuse to look away from suffering. We become a people who know that no one is the worst thing they have done. We become a people who will move towards disaster and danger because we know that's where God is waiting, in the wreckage, and where there is suffering. Over the summer, it has been a great joy to walk with two people in our church who looked at this life and decided that they wanted to stay with Jesus. In the Mennonite church, baptism is offered to those who wish to receive it, who request baptism. God says, I love you to each of us. And in baptism, we say, I love you back. As part of their journey in baptism, today, Wick and Jude will share with us their confessions of faith. They're saying out loud, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of life. So I'd like to invite Wick to come forward and share his confession of faith, followed by Jude.
Hi, my name is Wick, and this is my confession of faith. I want to be baptized because I believe that God loves us, and baptism is saying that I love God too. I know I'm forgiven and that God loves me. One of the reasons I want to get baptized is because of my mom. I feel like she is a great person, and I want to be like her. I learned in class that baptism is being a Christian and using my gifts. The water story about Mary being pregnant with Jesus most resonated with me about what baptism means. Jesus is safe and protected, and baptism is safe and and baptism is being safe and protected by God. Here's some things I believe. As a baptized Christian, I believe that every person should be loved. I want to love every person and love God. As a Christian, you don't go to war because we love everybody. I think God especially wants us to care for homeless people and people with disabilities. I'm excited to be baptized in a couple of weeks.
And now Jude Corver-Glenn.
Hi, I'm Jude, and this is my confession of faith. I want to get baptized because I want to follow Jesus even more, and I want to become new and wash away sin. Jesus' love is a safe place and makes me feel really happy. I'm hoping to learn more about his love at this church. Being a follower of Jesus means becoming more caring, loving, helpful, and kind. I'm really looking forward to getting baptized.
And Wick, can you come back up? Would you all turn to page 934 in Voices Together? This is a prayer for those preparing for baptism. And on September 8th, we will baptize Wick and Jude at the Eno River. And so we are all invited to come out to the Eno, have breakfast together, and watch these guys become Christians in public, as we say. Let's pray together. God of wanderers and seekers, We pray for those who are exploring faith and those preparing for baptism. Be with them in their questioning, in their doubting, and in their wondering. Be with them in their confidence, in their desires, and in their hopes. Be with us in our life and guide our counsel. Open us to faith as it grows in ways both familiar and new, so that we may journey together as your beloved children. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who prayed that we might be one by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nice. See you. Thank you. You guys can go sit down. As we've been reading this story very closely about Jesus' body becoming bread, his blood becoming wine, you may have heard some resonance with our communion ritual. And so it's a joy to end this teaching together with celebrating communion with all of you.